Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm here at home in one of the upstairs rooms of my house with my Bible open to James chapter 4. I'd like to read starting in the second half of verse 2, where it says, "You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Now, if I was to take a survey today and ask, what aspect of your relationship with God would you most like to improve? What do you think it would be? If I had to guess, I would say that for most of us, it would have something to do with prayer. I know that's how I would answer. So assuming that a large segment of us would like to improve our prayer life, I think it's a good thing to ask ourselves, what is it that prevents us from having the kind of prayer life that we wish to have? I know I've found personally that it's just not enough to hear an inspirational teaching or a message on prayer. While most of us might not dare to say this out loud, some of us inside, on some level, might be asking questions like, why is prayer really necessary? Do my prayers really make a difference? Is God not just going to do whatever he wants to do, regardless of my prayers? Can the prayers of a small, insignificant person like me have an actual impact on outcomes in this great big world where there are so many desperate needs? I think these are good, honest questions, and I think they need to be addressed because it's the wrong answers to those questions which will lead us to wrong thinking, which will then cause me to become apathetic or fatalistic or to feel powerless to the point of not praying at all because I don't see the value, I don't see the purpose. What I believe drives my thoughts, and my thoughts drive my actions. If I don't have an active prayer life, I need to trace my inaction back to what I'm thinking and what I actually believe. As small, weak, and insignificant as I may feel sometimes, it's wrong thinking to believe that I cannot be connected to God's activity and the bringing about of God's purposes here on earth. The reality is, it's precisely this realization that I am small and weak that positions me to be able to participate in God's activity on earth. It's also wrong thinking to assume that all human activity is connected to God's unconditional will, and that therefore all outcomes are inevitable because they've all been predetermined. This view of God's sovereignty can result sometimes in apathy or fatalism and prayerlessness as well. So how do we reconcile a biblical view of God's sovereignty and foreknowledge with the overwhelming number of passages in the Bible that tell us to pray and intercede for the lost and share the gospel with all creation? Over the next several podcasts, I'm going to be talking about the second paradigm out of six paradigms of transformation. Now remember, the first paradigm of transformation is that the Holy Spirit moving in and through the church is God's only plan for transforming people, families, cities, and nations. If you haven't yet listened to those podcasts, I'd encourage you, go back and have a listen. Now, the second paradigm of transformation I've borrowed from George Otis Jr., which is, nothing happens to advance the kingdom of God without fervent, focused, and unified prayer. Basically, the kingdom of God advances on our knees. Now, I'm going to eventually talk about all of these three specific things, fervent prayer and focused prayer and unified prayer. But today, I want to focus in on this verse in James chapter 4, where it says, "You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." You do not have because you do not ask. Does this mean that there are things that God wants us to have but don't because we don't ask? To understand what James is saying, and to understand what God is calling us to do and why, I think it'll be helpful for us to understand that God has both a conditional will and an unconditional will. God's unconditional will is when God determines something will happen irrespective of what anyone does. There are things that God has sovereignly determined will happen, and there is nothing we or anyone else can do to change that. That's why the book of Revelation can exist, which tells us how world history will come to an end and how the Lord Jesus will return to the earth. We know that the gospel will be preached throughout the whole earth, and then the end will come, and that there will be people from every tribe and nation worshiping at the throne of God and celebrating at the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is God's unconditional will. Hallelujah. It will happen, period. But God also has a conditional will. There are many things that God has decided but will not let happen until he gets cooperation on earth. There are things that God desires but will not bring to pass without human involvement. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So here it says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And yet we know that many have died and will die eternally separated from God. In this case, God has a will, but it's tied to a condition. People only get saved when they repent and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There are many things in our lives that are tied to God's conditional will. One of the primary mechanisms that God has established that determines much of what he does or does not do on earth or in our lives is the absence or the presence of prayer. That's why James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. God is saying, I wanted to give it to you, but you didn't come to me for it. It's not that I didn't want to give it. You just didn't cooperate with getting it. That thing was part of God's conditional will. He was waiting for me to cooperate with him and to ask. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By praying this prayer, we're asking God to release his will from heaven to earth. Now, it's true that I don't always know what God's conditional will is versus his unconditional will. I think that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So pray continually, bring it all to him, as opposed to bringing nothing to him. Make prayer like breathing, how we breathe without ceasing. It's through prayer that we can participate in a spiritual activity that brings about an impact in the physical realm in which we live. I love how Pastor Tony Evans says, prayer isn't getting God to do something he doesn't want to do. We're bringing to earth something God has determined that he already wants to do. He wants his name to be hallowed, for his name to be renowned across the earth. So we pray, come kingdom of God, be done will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Through the scriptures, God is calling me to pray that I might see his hand move in my circumstances and in the world around me where otherwise he would not. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. Do I believe that to the point where I will pray for my lost neighbor or friend or colleague, for my city, for my nation? James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So why should we pray? Because prayer's goal is that the God of heaven would touch something, change something, transform something on earth. The name of this podcast is really my prayer, Transform Us Now. Will you join me in that prayer? We will not be a fruitful church unless we are a praying church. God wants to see our lives transformed, our marriages transformed, to see our homes become lighthouses of righteousness, peace, and joy. He wants to bring his presence into our neighborhoods and places of work through us, that lost sheep might become found sheep. God wants us to participate in discipling cities and nations. So let's together ask for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, hallowed be your name. So let's advance the kingdom of God on our knees. Amen.